Like, dude, man, that track goes so insanely hard.
Dude.
Apartment 505 by Coast Contra. It's my number nine. I think it could easily break top five.
Dude, I would
Easily.
dap you up if I was there in person, man. That's
That's an 8.5. Easy. Could break a nine.
fire.
Go insane. Pimpin' Benjamin and On Tap. Those two songs.
Hell yeah.
Easily enough. Like an Apartment 505, the track.
Oh,
Like,
I'm smitten. That's fucking great. I love that.
Coast Contra hits so hard this year. I still listen, like they're one that is gonna be in my like Spotify wrap next year. Like, man, great album. If you haven't listened to it, I
Much
recommend.
appreciation. Thank you for listening.
Man,
Because
well, I've listened a lot. I've listened to Coast
I
Contra a
love
lot.
that feeling, man, when someone's like, hey, your recommendation paid off. I like it. It's
Yeah.
just such a great feeling. So
Oh man, Coast Contra fucking hit the spot this year.
yeah,
On
but
Tap, like, oh, On Tap. Just
that
fucking hits. You're
the
getting ready. You're getting ready. You're buttoning up a shirt. You're putting on a tie. And it's like on top in the background. You're just like, oh, I'm gonna
Yeah,
fuck some
buddy.
people's days up.
Yeah, man. Fuck
Yeah.
yes, dude. My number nine is Smithereens by Joji.
It was beautiful. I had
Yeah.
it at my number 13.
I'm a Joji guy. This one fights with Ballads One for me. It's not an album. Don't call it that, asshole. It's like 24 minutes of music, and please, those are EPs, man. But it's Joji. He sings beautifully. He writes beautifully. He orchestrates and organizes beautiful, not orchestrates, but he like arranges is the word I'm looking for. Beautifully. Yeah. Just the tracks on here, like Die For You, Smithereens, blah, blah, blah demo, I think is actually really good.
Yeah, I like
When
that
the
one.
Day Is Over. I think it's called When the Day Is Over.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's I'm blanking on the other ones really, but everything on
Knight
here.
Rider.
Knight Rider, yeah. The one I'm thinking of is like in it's Sorrowful or some shit.
Yeah. I'm just walking away, but I'm still listening.
Yeah. So yeah, my number nine, Joji Smithereens. It is more of an afterthought of a project. It's a Frankenstein's monster. It feels very compromised. It feels very stitched together at the last second. It feels obligatory. But in amongst all of that is Joji's heart and soul singing his ass off. And that will always win me over as a big Joji stan.
Yeah, no, I fully agree. Like, I just wish that project was longer. That's my
Yeah.
only thing with it. But okay, so does that bring me to number eight?
Yeah.
Number eight for me is Vince Staples. Ramona Park Broke My Heart.
Okay, so that sits pretty high for you, dude.
Yeah, man, I really like, well, I'm a big Vince guy. I'm a big Fish guy. Is You're the same way as I am.
Yeah, like that Big Fish Theory is his best album to me.
Yeah, Big Fish Theory is his well, that and the first one with
Summertime 06.
Summertime 06. Those are both like fucking phenomenal albums. But I really liked Ramona Park Broke My Heart. I went back to it quite a bit, and I put it very closely with my next album, which I don't want to spoil it. But very similar, and well, fuck it. You place them right neck and neck, and I find them neck and neck as well. Is that and Denzel Curry's "Melt My Eyes"
I thought you were
to
gonna go
feature?
with 2 Chainz, Dope Don't Sell Itself.
Yeah, it was right between that and MGK's album, actually. Yeah, but you know, like I find you put them neck and neck, and I did as well. It was Vince Staples, Ramona Park, and Denzel Curry's "Melt My Eyes." I find they're both people that are right on that second tier right now,
Yeah.
where there's like Tyler just moved himself up into the next tier.
Like Drake.
These are guys. Drake. And Tyler just went from that second tier to that first tier. Yeah. These are the guys that could fight to become that next tier. Yeah. Vince and Denzel are the next guys in line. JID. And they're still, yeah, and JID, I think, moved himself in right with them as those next three that could shift themselves into the next generation of hip hop, you know, like the next generation defining artists. And so I placed them very closely together. But Ramona Park Broke My Heart was just I find it a very personal album. I found it was still just those like gangster ass lines that Vince spits. Like he's fully himself on every album he goes into, just like fucking hitting that West Coast cadence, just like doesn't give a fuck what he's saying, just hits it, you know?
He's as Long Beach as they come, like him and Snoop are Long Beach.
Yeah, like he has that same swagger that like his dick swings low kind of shit like Snoop Dogg does.
Confidence, yeah. Confidence, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, so I really appreciated Vince's album.
My number eight is featured on Jid's album a couple times. It's Kenny Mason Ruffs.
Oh, Kenny Mason.
Kenny Mason was on Dance Now and Surround Sound, I want to say.
Yeah. He was on both.
Kenny Mason Ruffs. I was shocked because when I don't know much about him. I used to get him mixed up with fucking the guy who made, I don't know. I used to get him mixed up with someone else who is really mid. I thought he was another one of those like Lil Tecca, NLE Choppa, like Here Today, Gone Tomorrow, Fuck Off, Not Really, Trap guys, like thumper music making just like bangers and then going to jail, like the I Just Killed My Friend guy. What's his name?
I'm not sure.
The one who's in YNW Melly.
Yeah, okay.
Pooh Shiesty, like one of these fucking guys.
Yeah.
So when I went into his album, I was like, okay, here we go. And tracks like Halloween or Dip or the one that he did with Gene Dawson is extraordinary. Gene Dawson. Yeah, the one that he did with Gene Dawson is extraordinary. There's so much to take away from this project that I was just like, wow, man. This is the guy that I described as some songs he sounds like Jid and Denzel Curry in the same song. This is Kenny Mason. Okay. Fucking please stop swearing. I need to monitor my swearing just because I don't like to be
fuck
the guy.
That shit, dude. Fuck that shit.
That's whack. But yeah, strong recommendation. Kenny Mason Ruffs is like hype album of the year, one of at least, if not the hype album of the year. Okay. So much better than I expected. It's like a silver horse on the cover. It's kind of hokey, but musically, yeah, it's really right.
This kid's coming up, man. He's featuring on great music. I've seen his name all over the place, and I haven't listened to a solo project of him, so.
Yeah, this was my
I feel
first
like he
one.
Could be like a Earl Sweatshirt, sort of featured on everything when he was really young, and then just like, you know?
Yeah, man. Yeah, big fan of Kenny Mason. If he stays on this trajectory, he's household for me. And I think this is really slept on. I think there's so much great material on here.
Damn, okay. So, yeah, that brings me to number seven. And I already spoiled it, but Denzel Curry, Melt My Eyes, See Your Future. I think Denzel's, like we just said, like that next echelon to take over of what hip hop's going to be for the next generation. I think it's Denzel, Vince Staples, and I think Jid has slid in. Denzel Curry just. Songs like X-Wing and Walk-In, like, fuck. The guy is so talented. I remember looking at some stat with X-Wing where it was, like, in 128 seconds, he went through 64 different beat switches. It was like, what? It was something really? Insane. Or no, it was in like 4 minutes. Like in the 4 minute song, he has like 64 different flow switches. That's like crazy. What he does. The guy is insane. Like what he does on Walkin' is just like absurd. I can't remember the fucking exact numbers, but it was absurd. The amount of fucking flow switches this guy does. Technically, I think Denzel Curry is one of the best to ever come out. And I think he proved it on Melt My Eyes. And I think it's his third, maybe fourth best project. And it still places number 7 for me. That's how highly I think of this guy.
Denzel, yeah.
Denzel, number 7. Easy.
Denzel, he's one that's topping a lot of lists. People who like... people who appreciate artistry in hip-hop, people who like people who give a shit about the music that they make, like Denzel Curry.
Yeah.
My number 7 is the most overrated album of the year. It's Harry's House by Harry Styles.
I don't think it's that overrated, man. It's a good-ass pop album.
It's everywhere. Dude, there's literally graffiti in my city that's like Harry Styles is Jesus. And it's like, well, no, man. Like,
he is a damn good pop artist.
Yeah, no, he's number 7. I adore this album. It's Vanilla Ice Cream. It's middle of the road. It's inoffensive. It's not trying to do anything but be in everyone's iPod. And it does a great job at being the top 2 on Spotify, at being number 1 on Billboard for 300 weeks, at being number 1 on such and such, and that shit. And I'm okay with it. I think it's actually like a delightful, delightful pop album. I just, when it came out,
That's what it is.
Being like, it's Harry Styles back again. Like, if his track record is Harry Styles self-titled, Fine Line, this and his work with One Direction, which I don't really include because that was him then and this is him now. He has a great, inoffensive discography that is just for everyone to like something from, and it worked with me. Music for a Sushi Restaurant, Grape Juice, Little Freak, Matilda, Keep Driving, Daydreaming, Satellite, Girlfriend, Love of My Life. Like, that's 9 of the 13 songs on this album. And I'm sure if I just sat with a pen and paper, I could hit them all. This is a great album. I loved it. Yeah. And it is the most overrated this year. Just because, well, like, Drake is the most overrated rapper of all time. He's my favorite rapper, him and Jay-Z.
But and it doesn't take away from him being a great fucking rapper.
Overrated is not synonymous with bad. It has nothing to do with quality.
There we go.
It has nothing.
That's a great hot take. It is just overrated doesn't mean bad.
Yeah, like, I love a lot of overrated shit. Like, I love Mike Tyson. He's super overrated.
Yeah.
Evander Holyfield whooped his ass so much he had to bite his ear off. I still like Tyson more than Evander. You know what I mean? Like, I like Ronaldo. Oh, that's a hot take. I like Ronaldo more than Messi. Messi's better.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Messi's better.
I have to like Ronaldo because my papa is Portuguese. So. You know.
Yeah. So shit like that. Like, I know certain things are overrated, but I can prefer them. And that's Harry's House. That's Drake. That's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
That's,
no. Sorry. Easy. Yeah. No, I think Harry's House was a great, just like a perfect little pop album, you know, just like a fun, easy listening pop album. Yeah. But number 6 for me, Viagra Boys, Cave World.
Number 6?
Number 6.
That one I should have guessed at the number 5. I don't know why I didn't think of that one.
You were close. Number 6. Viagra Boys Cave World, that is up there with the Idols pop or punk albums of the past few years. Like, I think punk is having a major resurgence right now. 100%. Since it sounds bad to say, but it's like it's punk. Punk's political. Since Trump has come into office, punk has had a major resurgence.
Oh, yeah.
Even British punk has had a major resurgence because they've dealt with fucking bullshit politically, too. But since 2016, 2017, punk is having a phenomenal resurgence. And punk is anti-political always. Viagra Boys are making some of the best shit out. Punk Rock Loser and Troglodyte are two of the best punk songs I've heard in a couple of years, man. Like, they're making some fun fucking shit. I love it. Like, I don't know the name of the frontman of Viagra Boys, but he is a fun frontman. He doesn't give a fuck what he says. He's just fucking around.
Yeah.
Love it. Exactly what I'm looking for in a punk frontman. And it's the same thing with the Chats. I just think there's a bit more artistic, like, a bit more of like an oomph.
Zhuzh, yeah,
like yeah. Like, they have a bit more of a to them. A
spark to them. Yeah, dude, you've got, what, Sleaford Mods, Idols, Black Midi, these guys, Chats, like, yeah.
Yeah, there's a big punk resurgence coming. Honestly, it's bold to say it, but JPEG Mafia is punk.
I was going to say, there's an argument for Clipping, too, yeah.
Me and Justin have gotten into fucking yelling matches saying that JPEG Mafia is the future of punk music. If Justin was here with me right now, we've gotten into full-on yelling matches with people in public, being like, no, trust me, JPEG Mafia is what punk music is gonna become. JPEG Mafia is saying and standing for all of what punk music is, but in the new sort of like how it is taken in.
Yeah, that's an interesting take. I don't know if
is the future of it.
I think he's punk adjacent, if not punk, but I think there's credence to the take.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a bizarre take. But yeah. Yeah, that's wow. Okay.
Well, yeah. There we go. But that's against it. Viagra Boys, Cave World. If you haven't listened to it, you haven't listened to Anthony Fantano. That's the only album I know that he was like, I sit really highly on it. And I also was like, yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah. I was shocked. Well, because I've listened to it as well. When he gave it the high score, I was like, I have Welfare Jazz taped to my wall. I have.
Do you?
Yeah, it's on
Gangster. My album. Hell yeah.
It's on my album wall. I bought that from their website, like the Swedish website for like.
Fuck yeah.
I don't remember the fucking currency, but the Swedish currency, I bought it for like 20 Canadian, which is interesting. Yeah, it's taped to my wall. So when they went from Welfare Jazz to a 9 from Tony, I was like, really? What are they talking about? I'll get to where it is later on my list. My number 6. That was your number 6?
Yeah, that was number 6.
My number 6 is Chaos Now by Gene Dawson.
Oh, I didn't listen to Gene Dawson this year.
Chaos Now is...
I liked Gene Dawson a lot last year.
Gene Dawson, oh my God,
his album with the football helmet, I thought it was a 2022 album. It was actually a 2021 album.
Pixel
Guy's phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Pixel Bath. Yeah, that's a 2020 album. That's right. Yeah, Chaos Now. Catch up. It's really, really good. That's not a song I'm saying. Like, Dawson fan, I think you'll like this one. Yeah. The song
Glory. No, I love the guy.
Starts off with my ex-girl thinks that I'm fucked up. I am. My mom thinks that I keep a gun tucked. Yes, ma'am.
I like that.
My best friend thinks that I'm on one. My dad thinks that I should call him. Yeah, dude, it's so playful, spiteful. He's doing a lot of different genres. Like, there's like an Irish folk song as the outro. There's hip hop. Earl Sweatshirt has one of the most beautiful verses he's ever spit on this album. Earl's on it. Who else? I don't know who else is on it, but yeah, there's hip hop, there's synth pop, there's folk, there's punk, there's experimental. There's elements of everything splashed into this big cauldron of what the fuck am I making today? And it's literally called chaos now. Ha ha ha. It's brilliant. It's organized chaos. It's emotional. It's Brockhampton-esque at their absolute best. And
okay.
Yeah. And chaos now. Fucking outstanding work. It's my number six, just outside of the top five of the year. Okay. I love it.
So there we go. We're breaking into our top fives. I said I had five nines. You've been able to name four that I have not named yet on my list. So, Greg, congratulations. Kiss your hand. You went 4 for 4 on guessing my nines.
Okay, so Kendrick is, I knew.
Well, I haven't named any of the four that you've listed yet, so.
Yeah, I was surprised. Kendrick was the only one that I was like, he might have it as a nine, he might not.
Yeah.
And the other three, I was like, pretty
you confident. Still haven't named one of them, so.
Is it hip-hop or no?
I'm not going to tell you shit because you're going to hear it this soon.
Tell me.
It's a hip-hop album. It's a hip-hop album.
Ah, fuck. Okay.
It's a phenomenal hip-hop album, just so you know. But my number five is the only non-hip-hop album in my top five. And I think it is one of the best non-hip-hop albums I've heard of the past. Yes. I have.
Wow.
And it is Black Country, New Roads, Ants From Up There.
Yeah, as soon as you said that.
Ants From Up There, man. I will say, there's a couple of songs on here that are amazing. Place Where He Inserted the Sword, shit like that. But Good Will Hunting, still. Like, so, full transparency. I am not a outwardly emotional dude. When I hear Good Will Hunting, if I have enough whiskey in me, oh, man. That's a job. That's a man tier song. That is a song. If I have a couple of whiskeys and I sit outside and have a cigarette and I listen to Good Will Hunting, a tears coming down my face while I have a smoke. Like,
mine is Halvern. I think it's Halvern.
Yeah.
The one right after Good Will Hunting, I think.
Yeah, dude, it's the lead singer of Black Country, New Road, who after this album dropped, it got a bunch of critical acclaim and he left the band. So this album will never be toured. Like, it will never be, like, Black Country, New Road will never tour for Ants From Up There because the lead singer left, which is, like, insane. What?
That's a great choice, man.
Yeah. Did you just figure out what?
That's a great, 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 great choice. I think I rated it that on Twitter as well.
What, are you talking about the one that you haven't chosen yet? Okay. Yeah. But Ants From Up There, like, he won't tour it.
That's so
dope. It's such a phenomenal album. But so that's my number five. Number five for you.
Wow. They beat fucking Ants From Up There. Hell yeah, man.
If you know who I'm talking, if you know who I'm hiding.
Yeah.
There's somebody I'm hiding.
No, I know who you're hiding. I know
it's who now you're hiding. Can you figure out where they're gonna place?
That is. And my hope is that it's number three. Okay, so here's my guess off top. You're going Jid, Mike Dimes, this person or group, and then Kendrick. That's my hope for your order.
That's actually very close if you think we're talking about the same person.
No one's going to know this, but Eastside Flip is on the cover of this album.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, that one.
That one. Okay, you're actually extremely close. You're extremely close.
My hope is that that person is number three.
I hope
you're putting him above Kendrick.
You'll see.
So...
All right, what's your number five, bro?
Coast Contra, Apartment 505.
Dude.
Yeah.
Honestly, if I said, like, right now, Coast Contra is my number five over Black Country New Road. Like, I love that album. Love Coast it.
Coast Contra. Yeah.
The Never Freestyle also slaps, so.
Yeah, it does, dude. They're the closest thing to A Tribe Called Quest that I've heard in this generation. Like A Tribe Called Quest, Farside.
Just the fluidity within the group.
Yeah, dude.
Like it fits.
Two of these guys are related to Jean Grey and Rascass, which is kind of cool. Yeah. The Apartment 505 is one of the smoothest, most relaxing. Shout out to, I'll name him now, his name is Matt Cottrell. He's a great friend of mine. I've reconnected with him recently. And I messaged him as I was listening to it. And I was like, look, man, you've got one. If they keep it up and this album stays this quality, you've got one. And it did. So he knocked it out the fucking park. I adore Apartment 505. So shout out to Matt. Thank you for the recommendation. This is an exceptional album. And yeah, it's what I love in hip hop. I've been out of hip hop for so long because I feel like I've rinsed every corner between JPEG and Earl to DMX and Jadakiss. Biggie, Pac, Nas, Jay, Slim, Andre, the Soulquarian Collective, 80s with LL, Slick Rick. Like, dude, top down, I've scratched almost every niche you can in hip-hop. So finding a new hip-hop album that I adore, that wows me, that I'm like Nipsey Hussle, Victory Lap is the last time I've heard a hip-hop album and been astounded by it. So when I heard Coast Contra and they were as good as they were to me, thankful to them. Very, very thankful. I adore this album. And shout out to the guy who recommended it to me. Fucking god.
Yeah. Shout out to Matt Cottrell, whatever. Didn't know you had a sick fucking music taste like you did, and mad respect to it.
He went to, the reason him and I started talking again was because he went to a Dave concert in Toronto.
Dude, bro, Dave?
Yeah. Yeah, he went to a Dave concert in Toronto, and Dave brought out Drake. So I messaged him just out of, like, instinct, being like, okay, what's the better Dave project and what's your favorite Drake project? And him and I have been in like contact ever since. So great human being. I appreciate him a ton. And he does have an outstanding taste in music, I think.
Yep. Shouts out, man. Didn't know that. If you ever want to hit me up, hit me up.
I've asked him if he would come on this actually.
Yeah, no, we talked about that before. But yeah, no, shouts out. Coast Contra, one of my favorite albums of the year, and it broke my top 10. Great recommendation. Number four, Gregor, are you ready to be happy?
It's Kendrick, thank God.
It's Kendrick Lamar, Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. I love Kendrick Lamar. Kendrick Lamar is genuinely a god to me. I think he's my GOAT. He's my greatest rapper of all time. He's my favorite artist of all time. I think this is his fourth best album. I put this above Section 80, but I don't put it. I put it under Damn.
Yeah.
Right.
Same.
I love a lot of it. I will say I think Father Time could be a top five Kendrick track of all time. I think Father Time with Sampa.
Sampa.
Sampa on it. Oh my God.
Oh, dude, hold on. Keep going.
Yeah. But Sampa on Father Time is one of the best fucking features I've heard in a long time. Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers, I think, got overhated right off the bat because I felt like it was misunderstood. And then I think it got overloved. It kind of got overrated of people. Oh, Sampha's fucking debut album on vinyl.
On vinyl, man.
Oh, it's beautiful. Right. But no, I think Kendrick got overhated off the bat for being misunderstood. And then I think it got overrated because of people being like, no, it's the most genius album that I've ever fucking heard. Like, find the mid.
CD as well. Big Sampha guy.
Sampha is a guy who deserves all the love in the world. One of the better artists out right now. I find Sampha's equivalent to a Danny Cs. Like a Daniel Caesar.
Same name.
Immaculate fucking voice.
Yeah, Sampha, you're talking about Kendrick, so let's get back to that. But yeah, I love Sampha.
No, I find Sampha's verse on Father Time is worthy of all the accolades. Like, it's so good. But no, I think Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers is a genius, well thought out, equivalent to a Good Kid, Mad City or a Damn. Like, how well thought out and how meticulous that album is. I just find it doesn't have a replay value that those two albums bring as well. I think it is very to the core and a great storyline and everything like that, that those do bring. So I still rank it in my top three or my top four. But it's not going to be a 10. You know, like, I give T-Pab a 10, Good Kid, Mad City a 10, Damn probably a mid 9, this is a low 9.
You want a hot take?
Yeah.
I like To Pimp a Butterfly more. I would say, this is a pretty hot take, Good Kid, Mad City is a top 5 hip-hop album of all time.
I completely understand what you're saying.
Like, when you're looking at, like, what counts,
I won't say I agree, but I completely understand what you're saying.
Yeah, like, I'd like,
if you look at the rankings,
yeah, like, think of the top 5. Like, you've got Illmatic, Wu-Tang, Dre, Chronic, Kendrick, and Biggie.
Yeah,
maybe NWA is often mentioned in that, but I wouldn't count them.
Paul Eyes on Me.
Yeah. When you're looking at, like, hip hop albums that hit hip hop heads to the core and then rippled through everyone knows that fucking Van on the cover, man.
Yeah. And everyone knows Swimming Pools. Everyone knows, like, fucking Sing About Me, I'm Dying of Thirst.
Yeah, Backseat, like, Freestyle, Bitch, Backseat Freestyle. Don't Kill My Vibe, dude.
Don't Kill My Vibe. Like, everyone knows those, and everybody remembers when they first heard them. I remember when I first heard Backseat Freestyle. Like, that's how I found Kendrick, was Backseat Freestyle. So,
for me, it was ADHD.
Yeah, but you will be very happy to know there are 3 hip-hop albums that rank higher than Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers, and they're the 3 that you guessed.
That's cool, man.
Yeah, man.
That's cool.
You'll be very excited in about a minute.
It dawned on me
that you missed an album?
No. It dawned on me when I went through this guy and you chipped in. And then I was like, oh, who could it be? And then I scrolled down my list and I was like, who could? Because I know I've listened to 158 albums this year. I have to have listened to them. And then when I saw it and I just kept fucking seeing it and being like,
who do I dick ride harder than Kendrick recently?
no, I feel that. My number four is 07 O'Shake, You Can't Kill Me.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That 07 O'Shake, she's released two albums over the past 3 years, yeah. Ranked highly for you both times.
Yeah, Modus Vivendi was cool. I liked it a bit, but it was kind of forgettable. Although, yeah, there was two tracks on that, Under the Moon and Guilty Conscience, that were great songs. This one, man, just industrial experimental R&B is my shit. Like, Child was my second favorite album last year. And 07 O'Shake has my third favorite this year. Wow. Fourth favorite. Okay. Yeah, Web is cool. History is cool. Medicine is cool. Body is my favorite song on the album. Cocoon, the way that the bass climbs in amongst 07 O'Shake's vocals during the hook on Cocoon and literally just drums using the bit, like, it's fucking in earphones, great earphones, it's outstanding, dude.
Okay.
Wine and Spirits is cool. This album is just one that I want a lot. It did a lot for me. It reinvoked a love of music when I was going through albums that I didn't care about. The, like, Two Chainz, Nudies, the lower mid albums on this list that I was just like, okay, let's get it over with. The Jim Jones, the Chris Brown, the Games, these fucking people. And then I just like 07 O'Shake again. I was like, Modus Vivendi was cool. What am I going into? This one lit a fire under my ass. It's my wife's favorite album this year, which is really cool. And yeah, I just can't say enough good about it. I love it. I appreciate it, respect it, et cetera, et cetera.
Nice, man. Can you still hear me? I just had to switch audio.
Yeah, you're good. You're not. Okay, cool. While you are doing what you're doing, I'm going to yodel to our fans. I'm scared. I don't want to yodel anymore. Am I wedding? Okay, cool.
There we go. I can hear you.
All right, good shit.
Sorry about that. I had my headphones died.
Ah.
But we're at number three, right? We're talking about 07 O'Shake.
Is it Mike Dimes? It's Mike Dimes.
It's Mike Dimes, baby.
Hell yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah.
Dude, you're doing really well at guessing my list today.
Hell yeah.
Mike Dimes, In Dimes We Trust, sat at my number one for probably 8 months of the year. I found Mike Dimes.
Fuck yeah, dude. Fuck yes, man.
Dude, so I found Mike Dimes through TikTok. Fucking just one guy was like, hey, check out this song. Listen to it. Found, and then like 2 weeks later, he dropped In Dimes We Trust. And the amount of tracks, I still think he is the most fun hip-hop artist out currently today. I will die on the hill of Mike Dimes. I think he's exactly what I want in fun hip-hop. In fucking Backroom, No Trends, Wiss. Wiss, when he comes in with the fucking violin and then that shit rattles your fucking car.
Yeah. So
I remember the first time we listened to it, I was like, yo, I found this on TikTok. Me and Kara are going through, we're in my car. I was like, okay, I'm going to add this to Q. And it rattled my fucking car. And we're like, immediately we're like, oh shit. This guy is fucking in. Mike Dimes in Dimes We Trust is the most fun hip hop album I've heard. Maybe ever. It's one of the most, personally, some of the most fun I've had to hip hop ever. Like, it's up there with like a Ludacris.
Hell yeah, dude.
That's how fun I find it.
Hell yeah, man. That's
and fun. Like that's my level. Yeah, yeah. And yeah, love it. It's my number three. And Mike Dimes in Dimes You Trust. If you don't listen to it, at least listen to fucking Backroom, No Trends, Wiss. Those three songs, you're gonna be a fan. Easy.
Snow White? Yeah.
Could be Snow White.
Yeah, Snow White. That's the one directly before Wiss. No Trends, Snow White, and Wiss are my, that's one of my favorite runs in hip hop.
Yeah. Dude. Backroom just like it just punches me in the back of the head. Like, if you need, it has been done where I'm like sitting there, I'm like tired from work, and people are trying to get me to go out to a bar. And I'm like, yeah, no, like, I don't think I'm going to go. You throw a Wiss, that fucking, the violin comes in.
Yeah.
All right, let's do some shots. Let's get it.
Let's go.
Yeah. Let's go.
Make a night, man.
Yeah, that's a wake me up, let's fucking go song.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, Mike Dimes, easily I thought was going to be my number one for 8 months of the year until I met my top two albums.
Hell, yeah. My number three of the year is Cave World.
Okay.
It's Cave World by the Viagra Boys.
Really? It's not that high.
Oh my god, it's so fucking good. Like, so Troglodyte, I Ain't No Thief, where he's like,
so good.
I Ain't No Thief, fucking, where he's like, you know, I showed up to a party, and like, he steals someone's jacket, and then he's like, what if I helped your grandma cross the road, and she gave me the same jacket as a gift? So quit bitching, motherfucker. And then it goes into this, like, thumping, pounding bass. And it's just like, what am I listening to? Punk rock losers, crazy.
Punk rock loser goes so fucking hard.
Yeah, Baby Criminal, the way they start the album. Just like those drums going into the guitars, the guy's voice, the like cartoonish delivery is excellent. I think this album takes the perspective of someone who has dug themselves down a conservative rabbit hole on the internet and is now convinced that the government is feeding off of the adrenochrome derived from babies so that they can stay young.
They did it like the way COVID has fucked a lot of people's like heads. They did it in a like almost satirical sense.
Yeah.
And they did it so fucking well.
Like, yeah.
The Viagra Boys, you can tell they're smart.
Yeah.
They know what the fuck they're doing.
The album follows a guy who longs for a time where we were in the grassroots of evolution, where people were apes and there was a power hierarchy based on like physical strength and basic understanding, like apes beating other apes to be the alpha male. They long for that out of dismay for this fake reality they've panic read themselves into, wherein the government is eating babies and putting microchips in vaccines, and everyone is puppeteered. If you reduce us back to what we used to be once upon a time, it's not actually as glorious, and the people who long for that would die very quickly in that environment. And this album dichotomizes how quickly they would die in that environment and how much they wish they were in that environment so cartoonishly, chaotically, and brilliantly. My top two albums are, they have a different agenda. They have a very different agenda than this album. This may very well be the smartest album that I love this much on the list.
Yeah. No, man. Like, yeah, I could never say it better myself. This, you rate this so highly for the opposite reasons that I love Mike Dimes and Dimes Who Trust. Like,
number two is like the same thing with your Mike Dimes.
But it's like, I love Mike Dimes so much because of how I can turn my brain off and it's just fun and it's nothing. This is a, it feels like it should be an album that you turn, it's a band called Viagra Boys.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be something that you think too in depth about. But it's a super smart, layered, genius album.
Yeah. Like very textured.
Yeah.
It's throwing shit left, right, and center. Just skits, samples, interludes, and these.
Makes you think about the condition of the man now. Like.
Yeah.
Of a person now, like, it's great.
Yeah, this guy wants to bring his gun to work. He thinks about when we were, like, what's that? That's Troglodyte, right?
Yeah.
He sits at work on his computer. He wants to bring his gun to work. You know, and he's thinking about, you ain't no ape, you're a Troglodyte. And just his delivery is so, like, God, like... It sounds like he's shit posting lyrically, but thematically, piecing it together, sequencing it, it's a brilliant narrative. And that's why it's my number three. I fucking love it, dude.
No, man. Fully deserving of a number three. Completely get it. I also think it was Fantano's number three.
Number two was, we'll get to later on. It was Fantano's. Single of the year was Troglodyte. That's the one I'm thinking of.
Really? Eh? So all I saw was I'm off of Fantano's YouTube personally.
Yeah.
But I see his his TikTok and it came up and I saw that he had Cave World in his top 10.
Yeah.
But Troglodyte was his single of the year.
Yeah, dude.
That's amazing.
That's cool as shit.
Amazing, dude.
Yeah.
Viagra Boys getting that's the music reviewer. Amazing. Good for them.
Most significant of all time.
That's fucking crazy.
Even if you argue Rolling Stone or Pitchfork is more significant, no one author. Like, that's groups of people reviewing shit. No one reviewer is more significant a person than Fantano.
He makes careers. Brockhampton is only Brockhampton because of Anthony Fantano.
Injury Reserve, Slow Tie.
Every artist I've ever complimented on this podcast is because of Anthony Fantano.
Yeah, dude. Clipping.
I found Nutramoke Hotel. Semi off of that. I found Nutramoke Hotel off of Curtis Froud. You know him. Shout out to Curtis Froud. He sent me O Comely. And in the same week, 3 days after he sent me that song, Anthony Fantano did a classics review of In the Aeroplane Over the Sea. And that's when I found them.
I have that on vinyl too.
Yeah, it's one of the greatest fucking albums ever made. The greatest album ever made, if you're me. But
that's fair. That's a fair take. I dig that.
I love it. Love it. But we should pop back into the lists. My number two, you called it late in the game. It's West Side Guns 10.
Fuck yes, dude.
Dude, I have Dick Rode West Side Gun for probably 18 months. This man is, I think 10 is his second best album. I think Fly God, 10. I think it's right there with it.
I don't know, man. Have you listened to 9?
9, which, like, the one with the ski mask with the jewels?
Yeah.
No, I like it a lot, but I think 10 is better.
I'm going top 5. I'm going my number 1, I think, is 10. I think that's his best album. I think it goes 10, Pray for Paris, 9, Fly God, and then Hitler Wears Hermes, 7 is great as well.
No, I'm going Fly God, 10, Pray for Paris, 9, then it could be.
Yeah, like Who Made the Sunshine?
Yeah, it could be a bunch of different shit.
Yeah.
But no, nah, man, 10 hit hard. 10 I've listened to probably, it came out like a fucking month and a half ago. Like, it's like
brand new. Yeah.
I've probably listened to it 5 times front to back.
Shout out to Eastside Flip. Eastside Flip is I followed Gunn on Instagram for a long time. Eastside Flip is a local drug addict that buys from Gunn, probably. I don't know, dude. Allegedly. I'm not saying a fucking thing. But Eastside Flip is like, Gunn will take videos of Eastside Flip dicking around. And a couple weeks ago, he got himself stabbed or shot, went to the hospital, then went to jail, made bail, and went back on the block, like, all in the same night. Like,
I just Googled who is Eastside Flip, and he's a famous asshole, one-legged crackhead from Buffalo.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all it says. Westside Gunn has been posting, like, videos of him fucking with Flip. Like, just like, he'll go to Flip sitting at the bus stop and be like, hey, yo, Flip, what's up? And Flip will just dick around and be an asshole on cam. And
he's like Beetlejuice for Howard Stern.
Pretty much, dude, yeah. And then, like, I've known Eastside Flip through Westside Gunn for years. And then when I saw the 10 cover come out, I was like, that's fucking Flip, dude.
The one thing I'll say with 10 is it feels the most West Side album. Like, it feels like West Side Gunn having the most creative control he's ever fucking had, or having the most confidence in what he's making.
Yep.
To make exactly what he wanted. Like, 10 feels like exactly what West Side wanted to fucking make.
Yeah.
And that's why I love it so much. Like, shouts out to Soho, or Shootouts in Soho, and fucking Science Class. Sidebar, Science Class. Busta. Fucking Busta. Oh, that's the best Busta verse I've heard since 1998. Like, that.
That's fair. Dude,
that's the best Busta verse since Busta was relevant.
Oh, I'm a giant Busta fan. Justin will fuck you up for that as well. I know he's a Busta guy.
But Busta on Science Class goes hard.
I know what you mean. Yeah, I'm a big
Busta, like, guy, I will remember for a while, like, on my way back to Halifax from Ontario, I on our takeoff, I was listening to Science Class, and I remember as I was taking off, listening to fucking Busta's verse on Science Class and being like, this is one of the best hip-hop songs I've heard in a long time.
Yeah.
Just being like, yeah, like, this track goes insane.
I like Red Death more because of that screaming hook.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the chop between, like, you have Boldy, and then you have, I think it's Liz 2, Armani Caesar, and then Kiss the Ring Guy is Rome Streets. And then you have it cut off, and it's just this, like, tribal yell.
Yeah.
That's so chilling, and I just,
dude,
it's the spot, man.
But So I'm glad we're both agreed that 10 is a fucking crazy good album.
10 is an outstanding album. I think I rated it 9.2. I want to say I rated it 9.2 on Twitter.
I put it, I think I look back at it, and I think you put it like a mid-8.
Did I?
I think you put it a mid-8, but...
That's low.
I, like, 10... I also, I will fully admit to, as much as I dick ride, like, I dick ride Kendrick more so than anybody else, but I dick ride Tyler, and I dick ride these certain people. West Side Gunn is somebody that I dick ride harder than most.
9.2.
Like, I think, what did you put it?
9.2.
9.2. Fuck
yeah. Yeah, I did. Yeah, I'm correct in that. I'd stand by 9.2 for sure.
Like, but I will stand by. I think West Side Gunn is, I would put him in the upper echelon. Like, I would put him on the tier personally of a Kanye, Kendrick, Drake, Tyler, West Side.
Yeah.
That's the underground coming up. But I put West Side up there. I think he's that fucking good.
Yeah, I think when he doesn't care, he ends up making projects like Peace Fly God or Who Made the Sunshine. Mm-hmm. But when you get Hitler Wears Hermes tapes or Fly God tapes or Pray for Paris, it's very evident how much skill he has.
I don't think anybody can curate an album better than West Side Gunn.
I agree.
He's exactly what DJ Khaled hopes he is.
That's, Rough Criminal said the same thing when he reviewed 10.
Dude, like, that's exactly what he wants. Like,
yeah, man.
He puts together the best verses with the best beats and then throws in some sick fucking beats himself, or verses himself. Like,
bars, some dick around bars. Yeah. So what's your number one, man?
Well, you didn't give your number, what was your number two?
Drake, honestly, never mind. So what's your number one?
Really? Man? No, you can talk about number two.
Yeah.
Talk about your number two, bro.
I planned that joke so long ago, dude. Oh, fuck. Drake.
Dude, I honestly, never mind. I like it.
I'm part of a cult who likes Honestly Never Mind. And I apologize to all my people out there that I'm letting down because I like it. Honestly, Never Mind came out, I want to say, like, May, June. June-ish?
It was a summer album.
I got married in July, right? So that's my thing, is the night it dropped, Brooke was on a conference. I was home alone, and I hadn't eaten since, like, 2 in the afternoon. And it was, like, 11:30. I wasn't tired, and I was like, I'm going to order a pizza, and I'll go and pick it up. I pick up the pizza. I toss it in the back of the car. It's now 12:01, and I start playing the Drake album the fucking minute it drops. I'm driving around my city.
Dude, yes, that's the best shit.
The very first moment I can listen to this Drake album, I'm driving around a city that has gone to sleep. It's about Thursday. It's not Friday, Saturday. It's like Wednesday, Thursday. So no other cars are on the road. It's foggy. And I'm just listening to, like, these stupid, reductive trance beats. And my favorite rapper just half-assing. Like, it sounds like a Calvin Harris album where every, like, verse on it, except for the 21 Savage feature, is just Drake. It was made out of love and appreciation for Virgil Abloh, knowing that everyone would hate it, counting on everyone adoring him so much that he can get away with putting out what most would consider a bad album. Drake is not a dance guy. I mean, he's dance hall, but you're not going to him for house music. So when you get tracks like Texco Green, or Massive, or A Keeper, or Falling Back or Flights Booked. These are songs that most Drake guy, when you're a Drake guy, most of them are pound cake guys. Most of them are
Heaven's like, Room.
Yes, Scorpion, like they like Can't Take a Joke, or Sanders Rose, or 8 out of 10, or shit like, what's the one, Emotionless, the one where he raps over Mariah.
Yeah.
When to Say When, where he raps over the Jay-Z sample. Most Drake guys aren't Daft Punk fans. Enter me, right? So I grew up on Daft Punk, Deadmau5, Skrillex, Swedish House Mafia, Datsik. I grew up on Feed Me. I grew up on Noisia, Kill the Noise, electronic music. Fucking loved it. Benny Benassi, another big one.
Yeah.
So here comes Drake. Making the boldest... Making the boldest artistic statement he's made in a long time. He knew when he made CLB, he was playing it safe. There's Lil Durk, there's Lil Baby, a Jay-Z feature for guys like me to shut up, Ross and Wayne again for old Drake fans to shut up. There's a Nicki feature on Poppy's Home for Nicki fans to shut up. It's a safe album. Scorpion is a safe album. Views is a safe album. Honestly, Nevermind is the first time he burned himself, like, decidedly.
No, he just made what he wanted to make.
There's people didn't like Scorpion when it dropped, and then, like, people love it now. People did not like Views when it dropped. People love it now.
I think people are going to look back on Honestly Nevermind as an album that they're like, no, man, that was fun. That was a club banger album.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, like Drake took a giant risk, even though it would seem like he half-assed it because his lyrics on it and his singing on it are not up to par. It's the most effort he's put into a project in a very long time. Like, I feel like on Her Loss, it was just bars. Like, I'm just going to go into the studio and spit bars. And he, like, took shots at Megan Thee Stallion for getting shot, which is weird. He said that one bar where he's like, I don't vote, but if I did, I would vote for Tiana Trump, the porn star. And it's shit like this that I'm like, dude, you're 37.
Yeah.
You're 37. Like, what are you doing? But... I Got Married in July. It dropped in June-ish. It dropped in May, June. So the road up to my wedding, you know, finishing touches on catering, when the summer hits and the weather's nice and I don't need to wear my fucking sweater anymore, I can start wearing slides again. I get music like Texco Green. I get music like Flights Booked or Massive. And here I am. I get married in 3 weeks. You know, I'm setting up FaceTimes with my best men and my groomsmen. I'm picking up the suit. I'm talking to the cake decorator. I'm about to go to the venue tonight. This is the soundtrack to my wedding inadvertently. Yeah. So honestly, never mind. I am part of a cult. I know that no one likes it right now. But I'm a sucker for this album.
I think people are gonna in the next few years gonna be like, yo, Honestly Nevermind is one of Drake's better albums.
I hope so.
Because he did something different, and I think it's gonna set trends. The way people hated on Kanye's 808s and Heartbreaks.
That would be cool.
I think that's what people are gonna think of Drake's Honestly Nevermind. Where 808s and Heartbreaks set a lot of precedent, but people shit on it, kind of. You know what I mean?
I talked to Klusterman about this recently. We're not going to delve off on that because we already burnt time. But yeah, that's my spiel on Honestly Nevermind. It's my second favorite album this year. And I revisited it this morning and got up 2 flights booked, and it's still number 2. I still adore it.
Fuck yeah. All right, is it my number 1?
Yeah, man.
You know what it is.
I do.
Everybody knows what it is. It's what Twitter says is the number 1 hip-hop album of the year. It and should. I hate being on the side of what the general public choose, but JID's Forever Story is genuinely the best hip-hop album of this year. That is my number 1 album of the year. JID proved himself to be in that upper echelon of hip-hop albums this year. I think he is in that Vince Staples, Denzel Curry, JID is right below that Tyler, the Creator level of hip-hop. Man, like, just go and listen to Radar. Listen to Dance Now and the beat switch, mid-Dance Now. Listen to Systonem.
Yeah.
Dude, Systonem, surround sound with 21, even. Whenever there's the... JID has one part near the end going into JID's last verse of surround sound where he's like, I'm an anomaly.
No, that's such a sick, yeah.
Dude, when he goes into that verse, oh my God. No, that whole album, phenomenal. I think some of the best rapping I've heard in a long time. And just, I think it was perfect. Down from the beat choices to compliment himself. Great features throughout. I think he picked just front to back. Great structure of the album. I think JID killed it. Solidified himself as one of those top guys to be fucked with. And I think it's my number 1.
Cody Blue 40, it's one of those two. That's my favorite song. That surround sound, Systonem, I liked way
Systonem
more.
Systonem is my number 1.
Didn't care much for Breadinem because I don't like Lil Durk.
Yeah.
But
I think Radar. Yeah. Radar is one of those slept on fucking tracks, man.
The intro track, that's the very first track.
I think there's like a little intro track and then Radar. So it's like the second.
It's the first like real song.
Yeah. But man, he goes ape shit on that track. Yeah. And I think JID, like I've always known, like I saw JID coming out of the Never Story. And I was like, this guy, the way I always sound him, I was like, he's a fast rapping Q-Tip. Like his voice is like Q-Tip. And he's a fast rapper.
Wow.
That's how I saw him.
I
was like, he has a voice like Q-Tip, and he's a fast rapper. And then I saw him build more and more and more. And now I'm like, holy shit, this kid is the next level. Like, this kid's going to be the next step. He's going to follow the Drakes, Kanye's, Tyler's. I think he... Personally, off this album, I think he might have surpassed a Vince and Denzel Curry.
I agree. I do agree, yeah.
I think he might be the next. Like, he's the next up.
I think JID is the people's champ. I think it's really telling how many number one lists. I had a guy at my store back when I worked for my former company. In one of my last days, he was wearing a Dreamville shirt. And when he was wearing a Dreamville shirt, I was like, hey, do you listen to JID? And he skipped over the small talk and was like, everyone says Kendrick Lamar has the best album this year. I think JID does.
No.
And JID. I was like, yeah, dude. I mean, I personally put Dot above JID earlier on in this list. But I want JID to make, because I think JID has, I do think JID has a better album. I think
if you're looking at raw talent, I think JID's the most talented person in hip hop right now. I think Westside has the best choices. Like, I think Westside has the best, like, mind for it, if you know what I mean. Like,
I do, yeah.
He picks the best features. He picks the best beats. He's the best business savvy guy.
Yeah, right now.
But I think if you're looking, like, if you're looking at a football player, you're like, the fastest, strongest guy on the field is Jit.
Yeah.
Like, who can do what he can do technically?
Little Sims.
Little Sims is pretty technically fucking talented. Honestly, you stopped me in my fucking tracks. I'm like, Little Sims can do it all.
Yeah, that's, well, there's, I don't disagree with you at all. I do think Jid.
Like, I look at him as like the monster at the combine, the guy running the fastest 40-yard dash and doing the most bench press reps. That's what I see Jid as.
Yeah, Jid is the top
physical freak.
Three interchange. I would do Jid, Boldy, and Sims, and it depends on the day.
Honestly, Sims, I can see up there for sure.
Yeah, but I think
we also haven't gotten to your top one.
Yeah, no, I'll get there. I'll get there for sure in the next like 10 seconds. But yeah, Jid's the people's champion. I think Jid is putting himself into that conversation by the amount of people who feel slighted by the fact that he's not there. The amount of people who feel a chip on their shoulder for the fact that Jid isn't in that conversation
yet
is going to push him in that conversation.
Yeah, 100%. Everybody's like, he has to be there.
Yeah, he's an underdog. People love him. People love to champion the underdog. And he fucking deserves it, man. Yeah, my number one.
So talented.
My number one. Do you know what it is?
I've been trying to think, and I'm not 100% sure.
You hit it a long time ago. It's The Weeknd, Don FM.
I should have fucking known.
Yeah, it's Don FM. I saw him in concert this year.
Yeah.
It was a nightmare because the concert was phenomenal, but I got trapped in Toronto after.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to take
it's a nightmare leaving the Toronto or leaving Toronto after a concert.
Oh yeah, I had to take a $90 cab ride across the city.
Yeah.
Because
it's a good time.
We Googled the train to get there, and then when we got out of the concert, the train had stopped. So our car was at a train station across the city of Toronto. So we had to take a cab from, what's that? The fucking Union Station?
Yep.
To Weston Pearson's UP, Weston Roads UP station. Like, fuck off. Don FM, it's a blockbuster.
Mm-hmm.
It's a blockbuster. You have like
it's the Avengers of the albums of 2022.
Yeah, dude, you have the romance movies. You have the like 500. Like I would say, Harry Styles' Little Freak album, Harry's House, is like 500 Days of Summer.
Yeah,
I would say Jid's is like a Get Rich or Die Trying, 8 Mile, like an underdog making it up in the scene.
Yeah. N.W.A. like.
Yeah, Kendrick's is Good Will Hunting, ironically, ha ha ha, because Good Will Hunting is on Answer Him Up There.
Yeah.
But this one is Jaws. This one is Jurassic Park. This one is Star Wars.
Spielberg. It's the Spielberg of this year.
Yeah, it's narrated by Jim Carrey, for fuck's sake. He planted this reincarnation of 80s synth pop with tracks like Blinding Lights or In Your Eyes from his last record. And then he built a universe surrounded by 80s synth pop and imbued it with this hokey story about the process of traveling to your death. You know, everyone is consumed by what you do before you die. People who like to tell you that their greatest fear isn't dying are bullshitting you, because that is the only thing promised to us after we are born. Weeknd took that very basic premise and was like, let's slap Jim Carrey in there. Let's slap some 80s in there. I will sing my ass off on it. Write these sticky, infectious hooks. You've got Gasoline, How Do I Make You Love Me, Take My Breath, Starry Eyes is not really a track, Best Friend, Is There Someone Else, Don't Break My Heart, I Heard You're Married, Out of Time. This many hits speaks to pop star stratosphere. Like, Weeknd is trying to get the crown, and I mean, he's number one on Spotify right now, so he kind of has it in a way. And I feel like it's the most movie-esque album that I go back to. Like, there's movie-esque albums this year, but it's just like, you recently talked about how Avengers Infinity War is just a movie you can toss on. It's a great movie. It's a blockbuster. Like, nine Avengers fist fight Thanos for 25 minutes mid-movie. Yeah. Like, it's just like, it's trying to be a giant movie, and it is. And that's why I liked On FM, is because The Weeknd is such a massive star with a lot of talent. Sometimes, like I said with Drake, you root for people who are just the champion, the overrated people, man. You know, sometimes voting for Muhammad Ali, rooting for Muhammad Ali, is just because he's that good of a fighter.
Man, sometimes betting the guy that's not the underdog is the right bet.
Yeah.
Like, it happens.
Yeah, man. And that's what I did here is I found The Weeknd in 2012 when Trilogy dropped. I found House of Balloons, and he soundtracked the beginning of my relationship. Mm-hmm. Some of the most pivotal moments in Brooks and my relationship, I think back on when I hear Thursday, when I hear 28, when I hear Glass Table Girls, when I hear High for This. Yeah, I think back to that stuff. So because he's as intimate an artist for me as long as he has, and here comes this album. I still hate the cover.
Yeah.
Just the fact that he's like an old guy, I was kind of like, this could have been so much better. But musically, yeah, this is my album of the year, man. The Weeknd on FM.
No, that's fucking, like, there's no better reason to pick an album as your number one than for it to have a personal connection for you. You know? Like, I fuck with it.
That's it. Yeah,
we did it.
Our year end list, dude.
That's all the 2022 albums. Do we want to do a recap of the top 10?
Yeah.
Then we cut her.
Yep.
So, recapping my top 10, highly recommend any of these albums to any of you. Was number 10. The Chats, Get Fucked. Number 9, Coast Contra, Apartment 505. Number 8, Vince Staples, Ramona Park, Broke My Heart. Number 7, Denzel Curry, Melt My Eyes, See Your Future. Number 6, Viagra Boys, Cave World. Black Country, New Road, Ants From Up There. Kendrick Lamar, Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. Mike Dimes, In Dimes You Trust. West Side Gun, 10. And my number one album, Jid, Forever Story.
So for me, I've got number 10, Kendrick Lamar, Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. It's probably the most common pick for any top 10 album list this year, that Taylor and Harry Styles are really like the top three.
Yeah.
Number 9, Joji, Smithereens. Number 8, Kenny Mason, Ruffs. Number 7, Harry's House by Harry Styles. 6, I Have Chaos Now by Gene Dawson. Number 5, Apartment 505 by Coast Contra. Number 4, You Can't Kill Me by 070 Shake. Number 3, Cave World by the Viagra Boys. Number two, Honestly, Nevermind by Drake. And number one is Don FM by The Weeknd. So, a footnote before we head off. I listened to 158 albums this past year. This, I'm not going to get into reasons why, but this is going to be one of my last years being able to listen to not only music at such a high volume, but at a notable volume. I think in coming years, the more I grow up, I'm going to have substantially less time to listen to music. So this is, I hope not one of the last podcasts, but
yeah,
this nature, this may be the last podcast of this size. I think in future years, we'll rack up.
We can even see it that, well, like this year, I listened to 44 albums, and that was what I was able to do. It's just, as you and I are getting older and becoming who we're supposed to be, it's we aren't able to put as much time into this as we wanted to, you know?
Yeah. And yeah. I think that's okay. I think that's our decision as individuals. Music will always be my burning passion that I obsess over. I love my album wall, when I look at my vinyl collection, my CD case behind me here, it's what I'm smitten by. It's my hobby, my favorite hobby. But yeah, life also provides you with the opportunity to switch your focus and prioritize elsewhere. So I'm always going to be a music person, but this may be the last year where I can listen to an album number like 158. So if you've made it this far, I don't think anyone has. I don't think anyone is still here, but
We love you.
Genuinely thank you.
There's a love there. If somebody listened this far, there's a love there.
Yeah.
I mean, we love you.
Yeah, from the bottom of my heart, I've wanted Off the Dome to be giant since the moment that it kind of saved my life, man. Like, we've talked often about how I was as depressed as I've ever been in 2018 when you messaged me with a Word doc being like, here's my top like 10, 15, 20 albums. And then we were both like, hey, let's start a website at the time.
You and I had one phone call that was just about random bullshit. And it turned into a 3-hour conversation about Brockhampton. And we were like, this should be a podcast. Why the fuck not?
Yeah, dude. And
I can go off for fucking 4 hours and 56 minutes.
Yeah.
About music. Like, that's... Yeah, dude.
And we still will. But yeah, if this is one of the last episodes, to any listeners who stuck around for anything of it, thank you. And yeah, that's very accurate. We love you, man.
Yeah, there's love there. For anybody who has ever listened to Off the Dome or stuck around for Off the Dome, and I went into this thinking this could be the last Off the Dome, but after sitting here and chilling and shit like that, I don't think it is. I don't think it will be the last Off the Dome.
I don't think it'll be the last episode. I don't think it will be.
I went into this thinking this is the series finale.
Yeah.
And I don't think it is. Just because hanging out with you, Greg, to stroke your dick for a minute, I just like hanging out with you. I don't think we do it enough. So we're going to do it more. I think we bring it back. And but thank you, everybody. 2022, was a piece of shit year. But there was some amazing music. Yeah. There was some amazing music this year. And yeah, that's about it.
All right. Cheers, guys. Hopefully we'll see you or you'll hear from us soon, I guess.
At some time.
Bye. Bye, guys. Bye.